Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is probably a little bit more of a teacherly sermon than a preacherly sermon, because in our reading from Acts today, there's so much going on that's important. It's important for the church. It's important for us as individual disciples. It's important for us as a church community in our community. So let's begin with some history here. The reading from Acts chapter 8 shows us an Ethiopian eunuch who is in charge of the Queen Candace's treasury. So he's an important guy from Ethiopia, right, in Africa. Ethiopia, that country where in the 80s it was always, that was the place of all of the famine and starvation. Back in this time, it wasn't quite that way. And so the Jewish faith had gotten to Ethiopia through the Queen Sheba, who Solomon had as a wife at one point in time. So the transfer of the Judaic faith had gotten into Africa already. That's why this Ethiopian eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, because he was of the Jewish faith that had been transmitted centuries before from Solomon down into Africa. So there's our history starting point, right? So now this eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship. He had gotten his hands on a scroll of Isaiah. He's in charge of the treasury, so I'm sure he had his ways and means and purchased a scroll of Isaiah and was on his way back reading it. So here's a little bit extended history before we get to the Acts reading. This is how the Christian faith started in Ethiopia, through this eunuch. Okay, so this is where the spread of Christianity gets into Africa and starts spreading even further. Now, of course, it could have come in through, you know, Egypt and some other places as well, but this is the Acts reading we have that shows us the entry of Christianity into Africa through this Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. So this is an important starting point for us as Christians who follow the Christian faith, that this is where we know that Christianity emerged in Africa. Now, there are some other history points. If you look at the Greek history or the Roman history, there was a ship that had carried a Christian slave from Rome into Egypt, and so there's another entry point of Christianity into Africa, but this is the starting point. This is the starting point. It's important for us to know, because now that Christianity is worldwide, it's important to know these starting points. How did it get from this little Jerusalem, Israel country into the rest of the world? The Roman world, we know how it got over there with Paul and his church planting as he went, and here it goes south into Africa. And it's an amazing thing to see the spread of the Christian faith from these early, early days. But there's more going on here. More for us, I suppose, now that we don't live in Africa, we're here in the United States in the 21st century, and you know, we don't have that necessary history for us, because there's more going on in Acts chapter 8. First of all, there's some really supernatural stuff. God working some miracles, right? God doing some things behind the scenes to get the Christian faith to Africa. Because he calls the spirit, the angel goes to Philip and says, hey, go down on this road and you're going to meet up with somebody. So follow this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, right? So just go. That's all he tells Philip at the beginning. Just go. Go on this road. So the angel, supernaturally in a dream, maybe a vision, or maybe he encountered him, but Philip then goes. Because when God says to go, you go, right? That's sort of the way. We sometimes, when God says to go, we go, well, I don't know about that. Are you sure? Are you sure, God, you want me to go there? Are you sure you want me to do that? I think we're going to kind of hold off on that for a little bit. But Philip, when God said go, he went. Because there was an opportunity. See, when God sends you someplace, whether it's to the store or whether it's to Africa for mission work, there's an opportunity. He's already arranged it. Do you see how this is working for Philip? That the opportunity is already there. He just has to go and meet the opportunity. So the angel says, go. Philip goes. It's an opportunity. We're surrounded by opportunities. God doesn't always tell each individual person to go, but we are surrounded by opportunities. Just look at our parking lot this morning. Opportunities abound, right? They're here. All of those people that are parked out there that aren't in here, they're not going to come in here. They need to, but they're not going to. Now, I'm not saying all of the cars out there are heathens. I don't know. They may have gone to early church. We roll our eyes. I'm not saying they're unbelievers. I'm not going to judge. I'm just saying that they're not going to be in here. It's an opportunity. We were driving, Cindy and I were driving back. We were out and about yesterday, and we're driving back. Maddie was riding with us and Luca, and we're driving up Patterson. And of course, it was spring game yesterday, right? Oh my Lord, opportunity. Everywhere. Students engaged in things that are wholly destructive to their lives. Not just to their health, yes. Drinking a jug of vodka, that's destructive to your health, but it's destructive to their lives as well. Because that pathway, some of you maybe at some point went down that pathway and know there's a dead end in that pathway. It doesn't end well. It's opportunity, though. Right? Whether or not we want to engage it, whether or not we want to run up to the chariot as we hear it going, that's a whole nother story, but it's an opportunity. They're everywhere. This mission field of the Northwest is an opportunity. Difficult. Some may say impossible, but it's an opportunity. So Philip takes the opportunity. He goes down the road and he comes upon this chariot, and you hear the Spirit say, hey, go to that chariot. It's an opportunity. Go. I have a purpose in mind for that one person, that one eunuch. Not a family, not a high-ranking, king, but a eunuch in the court. I have an opportunity for that person. Go, Philip, go to the chariot, because there you'll receive the invitation. And that's the second part of this. See, Philip didn't just insert himself or start proclaiming in front of the chariot to stop it and stop up traffic. We know those, traffic stoppers. To proclaim, he doesn't stop the horse or the whatever's pulling the chariot to say, hey, I need to tell you about Jesus. He doesn't do that. He listens. See, the opportunity he seizes by listening, and he says, hey, I know that scripture. I know Isaiah. I've heard Isaiah before, and I know it's really hard to understand. So, mister, you reading, do you know what you're reading? It's an opportunity. And then the invitation comes when the eunuch says, I can't understand it. So come up into the chariot and tell me about it. The opportunity is followed by an invitation. But we wouldn't get the invitation if we didn't seize the opportunity. So all of those opportunities out there, maybe there's one invitation. Maybe. Philip seizes the invitation, sits with the Ethiopian eunuch, and begins to explain to him and uses that opportunity coupled with the invitation to do some proclamation. He says, hey, let me tell you what this is about because it's really difficult to understand. I don't know how many of you have opened up the scripture and said, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. I know I've done that. It makes no sense. How do we make heads or tails out of some of these scriptures that are so difficult to understand? The opportunity coupled with the invitation allows for conversation and proclamation. You got to have the opportunity, invitation. It all goes together. So this Ethiopian eunuch hears the gospel, maybe for the first time. Maybe he heard it before and didn't listen. Maybe not. Maybe this is the first time he's had the chance to hear that Isaiah points to Jesus, as does Moses, as do the Psalms, as do the prophets, all of them. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all of them point to Jesus. And here's Philip's opportunity with the invitation to proclaim the message of Jesus. The eunuch hears this message. Jesus touches him. And now, they're in a desert place, remember? That's what it says in Scripture, that the road from Jerusalem to Gaza is a desert place. And guess what they come upon in the desert place? Hey, there's water! I wonder who put that there. I should be baptized. Is there anything that would stop me from being baptized? No. Nothing should stop you from being baptized. Ever. Opportunity. Invitation. Conversation. Proclamation leads to this eunuch being lifted in faith, washed clean by the forgiveness of sins in baptism, made whole, and now a brother with Philip. This is an amazing event with some things that happen all around us, all the time. Now, we don't really have to go too far to search for water here. We've got a lot of it. But the opportunities are abounding. The invitations may be there. The proclamation is what they need to hear. It's what we need to hear. And then as the supernatural event continues, the man comes up out of the water and Philip is whisked away by the Spirit. His job is done. The opportunity was taken advantage of. The invitation was accepted. The conversation led to the proclamation of the gospel, which led to the salvation of the eunuch in the water. And job done for Philip because it wasn't about him. He didn't say, well, now I've got a disciple. No. That gospel needed to get to Africa. That gospel needed to spread. And so Philip is whisked away because maybe he might have gotten in the way a little bit. Let me talk to you some more. No, your job is done. Let the gospel spread. Let it get to all of the ears that need to hear it. Let it go from there, across the continent. The reading says that the man went rejoicing in this salvation that he had. There are opportunities all around us, all the time. Now, I don't say that God taps us each on the shoulder and says, go. But there are opportunities. And there are invitations even. And us in faith, those who have been saved by grace, who have been washed clean in holy baptism, who have received the gospel ourselves, have this opportunity to share it with others. Now, I had a professor one time who said, don't ever tell people to go share the gospel without telling them how to do it. So, how do we do it? I know many of us are frustrated at the parking lot this morning. Now, we could call the tow truck and start hauling people out of here. Would that be the best use of our resources? Would that be the best display of the name of this congregation? Grace, except for you. On Sundays. At church. Doesn't work that way. Maybe out of all of the cars parked there, there would be one who said, man, it was really great for that church to let us use their parking lot. Maybe Hal gets a phone call on Tuesday and they say, hey, thanks so much for that. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. It's a chance to share the gospel in some way, maybe not with words, but certainly in actions, as 1 John reminds us, let us not love in just word and talk, but in deed and in truth. Let's live it out. I could list a lot of ways to share the gospel, but it might not work for you because your opportunities are different than mine. You have a lot of them. I do too. I love to hear the stories of opportunities accepted, invitations engaged, and proclamations made. Wonderful stories. So let's continue to share that. By the Holy Spirit that works in us, may we be led to share the gospel. May we be led to grab those opportunities and invitations and be bold. Speak words of Jesus to the ears that we know need to hear it. Sometimes that's our own. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the